Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So happy to be here. It's always a privilege and an honor to worship God with you today. And wow, the last time this side was good and this side needed work. Now this side needs work again. But anyway, we're going to ask the Lord to fill up the empty seats with the angels. Okay, the angels are with us today. Hallelujah. So let me get set up. God has given me a now word. Do you know why? Because he downloaded everything on Saturday, which was yesterday. So I believe this is a now word. So all of you that are here are going to get the now word. And then I was thinking December 8th is, you know, 8 means new beginnings. So praise the Lord. We're looking for new beginnings for starting now into the new year, right? Hallelujah. Wow. If we can all stand, it would be wonderful. I'm going to share with you the title, the reference scripture, and the introduction. Let's all pray to the Lord. Father, we just want to lift up our hands and praise you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. Father, we know that, you know, people get attacked and things happen, Lord God, and they're not here. But Father, we know that you are here. As long as your presence is here, there's no other place we would rather be, is to be here with you. So Father, I pray for this word that you've given me, which is a now word. I pray that you will open up eyes and deaf ears, oh God, and open up our hearts to receive this word, this fruit that will remain. So thank you, Lord God, and bless this service, oh God, and we bless your holy name in Jesus' name. And if you can open up your word, today is Romans 8:28. Sam, can you give me my glasses? Oh my goodness, I forgot my glasses. Need that. Even though I have it enlarged, I still need to see. Thank you. All right. Romans 8:28. Somebody needs to hear this word today. I'm telling you, I think it's all for everyone that's here. Oh God, what an encouraging word this is. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, who's been called to according to his purpose today. And 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called, and also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And the title today is called, God is on your side. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God is on your side. If he called you, then he is faithful to fulfill every promise. Anyone tired today? Well, be confident, because Philippians tells us in 1:6 to be confident. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We are not alone. There will be times when we feel alone, and there will be times when we think things will never change, and there will be things that we will face. And we know that at the end of it, when God brings us through it, he will get his glory. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today that God is on your side. And I believe God will work it out. And he will turn every situation around, no matter what the situation looks like, in the name of Jesus. You see, God is calling us deep to deep. Psalm 42:7 says, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. God is calling us to another level of his intimacy. And this is going to require us to seek deeper and faith stretching, you know, stretching those muscles of our faith. And I want to talk to you today a little bit about faith and a couple other things. How do we know that God is on our side? especially when the waves look so high and we are supposed to walk by faith and not of what we see. Now, I could have came in here and got discouraged and said, wow, nobody wants to hear me preach. Come on now. Where are they all at? You know? But I said, you know what, Lord? You gave me this word for somebody today, if not all. And God is on our side. And no matter who wants to be here for you or who is not for you, God is for you. Hallelujah. Doesn't it say in Hebrews 11:1 that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that not seen? I want to talk to you about how Abraham walked by faith and believed God, even when God asked him to give up the only thing he loved. Hallelujah. How many of us know that God is not going to ask us to do something that he hasn't already done? It was by faith that Abraham was tested. Now, how many of us know that God tests us? He doesn't tempt us. The tempter is something different, but testing is another thing. But Abraham was tested after receiving the promise from God. Now, remember the story of Sarah, had to wait 90 years. She had a son. The promise came. So go to Genesis 22, and let's start in 1. Now, I read in different types of NLT, New King. In different scriptures and books, because I like certain things, how certain things sound. And I believe I have the New King James, but whatever you have is fine. You'll catch on. It says Genesis 22 and 1, and then I'm not going to read the whole summary. I'm going to jump down to certain things, certain scriptures. But it says, just follow along. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Has he called your name? He says, yes, he replied. Here I am. Here I am, Abraham says. And then God says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Abraham acted upon his faith the next day. Isn't that what it says? The next day, Abraham acted. Not a week later, not months later, not years later. As soon as God called him, he acted upon it. The next day. Faith without works is dead, in James 2:14. Faith is acting upon God's command. Listen to this in 7. It says, the boy asked, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering, right? Remember Abraham and his son were gathering the wood. They were gathering everything to go on this trip, this journey, right? They were getting ready. But then the boy's looking around. He says, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Here's the key. Listen to Abraham's answer. God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. And they both walked together. There was no questions. Remember, there's not a whole lot of questioning God about all this. They just flowed. Now listen to God's response. After he acted on faith, verse 12, don't lay a hand on that boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Wow. Is that a test that some of us can go through? We might not have to put on an actual altar, but there is a superficial altar that God asks us to do at certain times for certain things, and it's for his purpose. You know, to truly fear God says in Psalm 111:10, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding, having all that they do is commandments. To know the Lord is not going to ask you to do something he has asked you to do that without a shadow of a doubt, God is on your side because he has your best interests at heart. He has your best. He's not going to ask you something to do something if he knows he's not going to bring you through it and he's not going to be by your side. He says, I will always be on your side. I will certainly bless you. This is what he's telling Abraham. After the whole test is over, he comes through it. He says, I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, all because he obeyed God and walked in faith and trust in God. I will do, this is what he's telling us today. This is the now word. I will do beyond anything that you can't even fathom or imagine that the Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard, all that God will do for all those who love him in 1 Corinthians 2:9. You see, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. The Apostle Paul says, no one can condemn us. No one can judge us. Everything is from God. And most of all, nothing can separate us from his love. If God is working on our behalf, all we must do is stand, walk in his word, and follow his voice. That's the instructions. How many of us know that we have free will? We're not robots, right? We have free will. God will ask us to do something, but it's up to us to make a choice, just like the example of Abraham. Yes, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do? Even in the middle of the night, I said, who do you want me to pray for? Who needs prayer, Lord? Because I know that a lot of times he wakes me up in the middle of the night because someone is in need of prayer. Yes, Lord, here I am. What would you like? As a servant, what would you like me to do? Right? As a servant. One thing I know for sure, your faith will be tested. How many of us know before we take a real test, we will have pop quizzes and study guides to help us pass the test? So we will have some pop quizzes, some study guides, which is the word of God, to help us pass this thing. And I said, I believe just like he told Abraham instructions, he will also tell us the exact same instructions. He gave Noah instructions. He gave all of his apostles instructions. And how much more is he going to give us his instructions? He will give us the guide to see us through, right? We just don't know how long the test will take. But the Bible says that there is strength in the waiting, right? There is strength in the waiting. I believe everybody's going to get an A+ in this room today. Do you know why? Because you showed up to hear this word, and you're going to get an A+. And Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And the waiting is where the trust is and where we don't rely on our own human efforts. But God is showing us his strength because he never grows tired or weak. I'm in the waiting because we walk by faith. And this is where God is renewing our strength in the waiting. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine according to his power, say power, power that is at work within us. How many of us know if we don't study, we will need to retake that test? We're going to have to retake that test. And we'll take it over and over and over. And I believe that's called the wilderness experience. when you're going around and around and around in the same thing. You want to stop and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Where did I? You're right. Let's do a self-examination. You know, stop and then yield to the Holy Spirit, and then he's going to give you the green light to go. That was another message. But anyway, he says, if we spend enough time with God, we will know exactly what he's asking us to do. How many of us know, like, when you're going through that test by faith, he is going to show you some things, like he did in the wilderness for the people. Manna came down. That was a supernatural. I believe there's a lot of supernatural things that happen in the wilderness. And by faith, God is showing you his miracles. And honestly, the wilderness is not really a real bad experience. It's where God wants to show his true miracles. He wants to show, like, his miracles in that experience. And when we do walk by faith and trust in it, and we're going through a test, you know, there's a miracle on its way. It's got your name on it, you know? So James 1:6 says, we can battle sometimes going back and forth with our faith. That's called unwavering, you know? We unwaver. The Bible says that faith is what pleases the Lord. This is where the power of prayer comes in. And it says, you don't give up just because you don't see results right away. Keep praying until you get an answer. Keep asking because God will come through. God is looking for a people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23 tells us it's a genuine place within your heart, not feeling like serving is a duty, right? It's a privilege and an honor to serve him. It really, truly is. But serving with joy. Okay, this is what your flesh sounds like. You want to know? Let's hear what the flesh sounds like. My flesh says, I'm tired of doing this job. You know, sometimes I have to drag my feet into work because I know everybody's going to ask me, I need. You get tired of, you know, giving. But the Spirit says, with God, I can do everything God calls me to do, even when I'm tired. Come on. Who's this message for today? Guess what? God is looking for you to go into the right direction. Right? You know the Israelites, when they had to cross over to the Jordan, next to the Jordan? You're going to cross over to the other side because he's looking for you to go into the right direction. God works through circumstances, and he will make it clear if plans don't follow through. You know how people will make plans with you and then they cancel them? Huh? Anybody been canceled lately? Well, God's plans are different. He is unchanging. He doesn't make plans and break his promises. 2 weeks ago, I said, Lord, I'm going to meet you on Saturday. I'm going to dedicate that day to you. I'm going to spend the whole morning with you, and I'm going to plan on you showing up. Well, he showed up, because here I am today preaching his word. He showed up. So you can make plans with God, and you can say, God, you know, I want to make time for you. Let's do this day together. I want to have a date with you, and I want to spend some time with you, and I need to hear from you. I need to hear your voice, oh God. He follows through. He says the only thing he will cancel out is forgiveness of all of our sins. Wow. You mean to tell me if I made a mistake and I said, Lord, forgive me, you're going to cancel them out? In Colossians 2:14, he says he'll blot them all out and remember them no more. In Isaiah 43:25. Why? Because God is on your side. If you can't remember anything from this message, and if you're going through a test, what are you going to say? Hey, I think I'm making leeway here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is on your side. And if he said it, he's going to do it, and he's going to follow it through, and the word is not going to come back void, because it's going to produce fruit and accomplish everything it says, because God's word is true, and you got to believe it. You know, God is not the author of confusion. He is working out your life for your good. Not his good, your good. Do you believe it? He is the author and finisher of all our faith, Hebrews 12:2. It's time to turn the page. Move to the next season and the next chapter, because we're going into a new season. And today, I'm thinking of new beginnings. New beginnings. I don't know what that means for you, but new beginnings. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And anything in between is what? The word says it's from the evil one. See, God is pretty concrete when it comes to decisions. When you make a decision, he's going to say either yes or no or wait. Those are the three things. He'll say yes or no or wait. And if he's telling you wait, well, my Bible says yes and amen. That's what he's saying. Yes and amen. He doesn't want to hold anything from you. He wants you to know his will for your life. God is on your side. And guess what? He will take you by the hand just like a little child. And I'm going to share with you a story about God taking a little child by his hand, right? So how many of us know the story of the father and the son, and they were questioned about his faith for his son to be healed? And if you want to go to Mark 9:23, this is where the story is. He says, there was a father with his son, and he was possessed by an evil spirit, and he was muted, he was deaf, he couldn't speak, he couldn't do anything. In fact, this thing was so violent, it was trying to make him go into the fire, water, and all kind of things. It was trying to get him to do some very bad things, and he needed help. His father was crying out for his son. How many of us are crying out for our sons and daughters and our families, right? Well, Mark 9:19 says they brought the boy to Jesus. Well, take him to Jesus. Take him to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, you faithless people. Now, that's a response that I didn't think he would say, right? You faithless people. Jesus was saying, how long must I put up with you? Come on now. How long are you going to keep on not believing? Faith works by not seeing. The boy's father mentioned his son was going through this for a long time, and it was trying to kill him. Right? He was going through it ever since he was, probably since he was a little boy. And the father tells Jesus, he says, help us if you can. Come on. If you can? You know, how did Jesus respond? He says, what do you mean, if I can? If I can? Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. I'm going to always believe for that miracle, and I'm going to hold on to it as long as I can. And the father starts crying out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. My cry is, I do believe. You can save my son. I surrender it to you, and I'm going to rest in God's peace until it comes through. In Jesus' name. So he says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And Jesus instantly cast that spirit out of him. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up on his feet. You see how Jesus picks us up by the hand and holds us like this, just like a little child. and 27. And so we will never know if we will be in a position to challenge, to ask God, help me with my unbelief, God. Help me with my unbelief, God. Whatever the enemy meant for evil, God turns it around for our good. He will always, always have his best interests in our hearts for our lives. God will always. Even if my father and my mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Psalm 27:10 says, we need to be confident in the Lord no matter what trial, storm, or battle we face. What's the title of the message? God is on your side. And we do not need to lose heart. In this life, the Bible says, we will have trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. In other words, God is on your side. He tells us no matter what happens, we will have peace in him. John 16:33. You don't have to worry about your life. Because if God already told us in his word not to worry, he tells us about the birds of the air, are you not much more valuable than they? Your heavenly Father feeds all the birds in the air so he can take care of your every need because you're more valuable than they. He tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, this whole scripture here has really helped me when the anxiety starts building up. You know, all of the holidays are coming. I don't have enough money to pay for Christmas gifts or this or that, the electric and the, you know, and the bills go on and on and on. And when I read this and the word just says, don't worry about where you're going to live, how you're going to eat, what you're going to do. Your heavenly Father, just like he told Abraham, Abraham told his son, the Lord will provide. And then what? There was a ram in the bush. And he said, you know what? Here's your son. I know you fear me now. I know you fear me now. You know? So God gives us his instructions throughout the whole Bible in his word. Of anything that goes on in your life, believe me, you can read it. And you know what? This is a short message. It was to the point. But let me tell you, if you can open up your Bibles to Psalm 56, 9 through 11, and I would like for all of us to read this scripture, this psalm, because we're going to declare it, we're going to decree it over our lives, okay? For if you're not going through a test now, this can prepare you for the next test. And I'm gonna declare and decree that everybody here is going to get an A+, and you're going to pass your test, and your miracle is on its way. Are you there? Okay, I'm in the NLT. Okay, I'm in the NLT. Just follow along, or just repeat after me. My enemies will retreat when I call you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. Do you believe it? He says in number 8, if you go down to 8, 56, 8, 9, 8, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. That's deep. For every time that you cry, just like he saw, was it Zechariah behind the tree? He said, I saw you behind the tree, right? Every time you have cried to the Lord and you have poured your heart out to the Lord, he says, he keeps track of all my sorrows. And he says he collected all your tears in the bottle and he has recorded each and every one. right? It's a lot of bottles. It's a big bottle. It's a lot of bottles, but God says that he's on your side and he knows every sorrow and he hears your heart. He hears it. If we can have a little bit of music, okay, let's put, I know you got a song, Eric. I know you're prepared. Have a little bit of song, and if we can all stand in the presence of the Lord, and I'll see how the Lord wants to do this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I'm just going to pray right now, and then we're going to have an altar call. And then I'm just going to, if you don't need prayer, then you'll be released to go. Because I always forget this part, and I want to be able to at least pray and close out and then let the Lord do what he needs to do. So, Father, we want to thank you for this word, Father. Father, we lift up our hands as we surrender to your will. And Father, we just pray right now that we put our trust in you over every test. We are overcomers because we got God on our side. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So Father, we cast out all fear right now in the name of Jesus. We don't go with what if this and what if that and things that haven't even been begun. Father, we don't worry about things like that. Father, we are in the now, and whatever you're doing now is what matters. So Father, have your way in this service. Father, we seal this word over each and every person today. And that no matter what battle we face, we know that you are on our side. And Father, we thank you for the deliverances. We thank you for the healings. We thank you for the miracles. Because we still believe. We believe in you, oh God. And we know that the latter rain is coming. And we know that the revival is here in the name of Jesus. And we're going to turn our frowns upside down because with joy of the Lord is our strength. And Father, we will wait upon you to renew our strength because we know that all these things you're going to turn around for our good in the name of Jesus. Wow. Woo.